Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the
News
Civic Media
the
app.
Kendo. Americans marking this 4th of July with celebrations, but mass shootings in Philadelphia and Fort Worth, Texas have marred the holiday. Philadelphia police investigating a shooting last night, saying a gunman wearing a bulletproof vest killed at least five people during a 4th of July event. And in Highland Park, Illinois, residents are remembering 1 year ago when a gunman opened fire during the town's 4th of July parade. Mayor Nancy Rottering at a ceremony today says the community is strong.
We don't need the date or the holiday to remind us about what happened. We live with it every day. Each one of us, even as the world moves on, the loss and the pain will never leave us.
Security stepped up across the country and in New York City ahead of the fireworks show. Law enforcement says even though there are no credible threats, recent extremist groups have put police on high alert. And millions of Americans traveling this holiday weekend, more than 50 million driving or flying. This is ABC News. Israeli authorities say a Hamas militant drove into a crowded bus stop in Tel Aviv today and started stabbing people, injuring eight, an armed passerby killing the attacker. This as Israel continues a deadly raid in the occupied West Bank. The army says the counter-terror operation could wrap up sooner than expected, forces arresting more than 120 militants. Questions in North Carolina following the closure of a roller coaster after a large crack formed in a support beam.
Jeremy Wagner recorded video of the crack Friday while waiting to pick up his kids who were on the ride.
I looked back and I looked back up there and I saw light through the crack.
He says he immediately went to the park's guest services, showing them the video.
That's catastrophic. And I don't have to be an engineer to know this.
But Wagner says there was a lack of urgency, saying the park took nearly 1 hour to close the ride. Carowinds says safety is our top priority and says all of its rides are inspected daily.
ABC's Allison Kosick. Victor Okendo, ABC News.
Current Electrical Services is looking for construction electricians. Apply online at currentelectricalservices.com. Better pay, better lifestyle, and excellent benefits. Give your career a jolt. Work at Current Electrical Services, a veteran-owned company.
Ain't Meatpacking in Kekana reminds us to salute our emergency first responders. That's law enforcement, firefighters, and paramedics for their professionalism, commitment, and bravery. These men and women are willing to put their lives on the line for us with little or no thanks. First responders are the backbone of our country. They deserve our admiration, so thank them for everything they do for us. A message from Hain Meatpacking in Kekana, in business since 1959, and saying thank you to all of our first responders. That's Hain Meatpacking.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A teenager is dead after being injured in an industrial accident in northern Wisconsin last week. It happened at Florence Hardwoods in Florence Thursday morning. The 16-year-old boy died at Children's Wisconsin Hospital Saturday. Authorities aren't releasing his name. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is looking into it. Counselors will be available at Florence High School on Monday. Two people in Milwaukee are dead in a rash of shootings over the 4th of July holiday weekend. One of those killed was a 15-year-old boy. At least 15 other people are wounded from gunfire going back to Friday night. People love fireworks, but they don't love getting burned or injured. Firefighter Trevor Hash recommends planning ahead for a safe backyard fireworks show.
Setting up ahead of time, having a perimeter, you know, understanding how big the fireworks are going to be, having an adult set off the fireworks, not kids, and have a sober adult is even better. Once the fireworks go off, we want to store them in water overnight.
Hash says to pick up litter and respect your neighbors. It's also important to supervise children.
Little kids with sparklers, they burn about 2,000 degrees, so they're extremely dangerous. And so glow sticks are much better options for kids. They get the same effect. Pets around fireworks, pets run out, people chase the pets, and then they get injured. And then duds. We definitely want to make sure that those go in a bucket of water.
Nine Americans died in fireworks accidents in 2021. About 11,500 people had to go to the emergency room. Rural Wisconsin is growing quickly, but at a faster rate than, I should say it's growing slowly, but faster than neighboring states. Luke Mathers explains.
From 2010 to 2022, Wisconsin's rural communities saw a population growth of 1.8%. That's much slower than the growth seen in the rural population throughout the 1990s, but still better than rural communities in neighboring Midwestern states. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows that rural counties in the state are seeing success from tourism and recreation economies. The younger, seasonal workers, paired with residents nearing retirement, have supported rural population growth since 2010. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Hot summer weather may stretch the limits of Wisconsin's electrical grid. In fact, two-thirds of North America might be in danger of energy shortages this summer when people are turning up their air conditioners. The North American Electric Reliability Corporation is a utility watchdog. It says Wisconsin should have enough energy to meet normal demand, but demand at peak times might overwhelm energy reserves. The group points to fewer coal-fired plants, higher demand, and instability during high heat. Well, now that the U.S. Supreme Court has blocked President Biden's student loan relief plan, consumer watchdogs are concerned scam artists will prey on people struggling to pay back their student loans. Nadia Ramlagan reports.
Judy Dollison with the Better Business Bureau says any email, phone call, or text telling a person they qualify for lower payments through some type of debt relief program now should be a warning sign, especially if an upfront fee is required.
It's important just to watch for those red flags to prevent the scammers from stealing your money, or even worse, sometimes they ask for personal information that can be used for identity theft.
She recommends doing research before sharing any personal information and relying only on official government websites for information on loan consolidation. Report fraud to the Better Business Bureau's Scam Tracker or to the Federal Student Aid Information Center. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
People in southern and eastern Wisconsin can expect lower air quality this afternoon and tonight. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Mike Moen. A recent report shows pedestrian fatalities in the U.S. remain at alarming levels. In Wisconsin, local communities are stepping up with grant money to establish more safety. Last month, the Governor's Highway Safety Association issued new data showing that more than 7,500 pedestrians were killed in the U.S. last year, a 40-year high. At the same time, AARP is awarding its latest round of community challenge grants. Cities like La Crosse and River Falls have been awarded funds to enhance safety and accessibility in high-traffic areas. AARP's Jim Flaherty says these cities stood out for trying to make their communities more livable.
Anything that communities can do to make pedestrian walkways safer is going to be highly valued by AARP because it is helping folks 50-plus to navigate some of the roads in a more safe manner.
The report also notes a year-over-year increase in the pedestrian fatality rate for Wisconsin. La Crosse is revitalizing a frequently used route by adding improvements such as a new crosswalk with art, light posts, and other amenities. River Falls is making improvements at a major intersection by adding high-visibility crosswalk markings and an auditory response system. Flaherty says it's encouraging to see local solutions as residents all over the state deal with quality of life issues.
Improving walkways and pedestrians and bike paths, that's all part of it. But so is affordable housing, all types of things, so that from birth to death, you are able to live in a community without being a demographic that's left behind.
Other cities awarded grants are trying to address issues beyond pedestrian safety. Milwaukee will use the funds to support community outreach for the growing MKE initiative. Leaders say the effort will amend the city's comprehensive plan and update zoning to reduce barriers that interfere with development of housing for older adults. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A hot and humid one for the state as upper 80s continue with a surge of mid-90s pushing through Madison and northeast into the Fox Valley. Remember to stay hydrated today, and an air quality advisory has been issued for ozone for eastern, southern, and central Wisconsin until 11 p.m. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk once again for the same areas yesterday, including all of northwest Wisconsin from Superior out to La Crosse, Wausau, and into Rhinelander. These strong to severe storms begin to move into the St. Croix Valley near Spooner and Rice Lake around 4 p.m., packing a punch, with the potential for large hail, damaging winds, and heavy downpours. Flash flooding is also possible, with 1 to 2 inches of additional rain. These storms will continue to spread and move eastward into a line towards Ashland, Wausau, Eau Claire, and La Crosse. Have a terrific Tuesday celebrating Independence Day, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Cubs this afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the biggest come-from-behind win of the season for Milwaukee, an 8-6 win over the Cubs in front of 43,000 at American Family Field. Brewers starter Julio Teheran got off to a rough start, giving up 6 runs on 8 hits in the first 2 innings.
Yeah, obviously, after those 2 innings, they were crazy. I mean, a lot of weird things happened, but I mean, I was able to set everything up and work for the next 3 that I felt that they were important. I mean, obviously, when you got to start like that and you just got to battle and get through 5 at least and give the team the chance to come back.
Then down 6-3. Brewers pinch hitter Jamai Jones, just signed from a Dodgers minor league team, came to the plate. Bally Sports Wisconsin's Jeff Levering.
And now it's Jamai Jones who's going to make his Brewers debut. Just signed his contract today. Hits with the bases loaded and hits for the first time in the big league since 2021.
What a moment.
And a line shot to center. Back then, and Jones over his head and off the wall. Tapia around third. The throw. Tie game. Wow. Jamai Jones, welcome to the crew.
Not messing around. First pitch.
Third baseman Brian Anderson is out on paternity leave. Brewers manager Craig Counsell on having to use Jones.
The backstory, just the timing behind it of, you know, he had opted out of his deal and Brian's wife having a healthy baby today, and then just kind of us using that as a carrot to get him here is, that's crazy. And then him being the game-winning hit, it's, life worked out pretty good for him.
Christian Yelich barely met Jones before the game.
This morning, you know, saw him at his locker unpacking all of his stuff, and then the next time I saw him, he was hitting a pinch hit triple, so that's pretty cool.
The 25-year-old infielder, Jamai Jones, has played for the Angels, the Orioles, and now with a big hit for the crew.
The situation, you know, bases loaded, 2 outs, really honestly not trying to do too much, just trying to do my job and keep passing the baton, and luckily all 3 scored, but trying to keep it simple, trying to keep it small with my approach and not get too big.
Cubs manager David Ross asked how his bullpen could have avoided blowing a 6-run lead.
Throw strikes, 9 free passes with a 6-run lead early on just can't happen. We've got to throw strikes, challenge guys, make them earn it.
So game 2 of the 4-game series featuring Kyle Hendricks against the Brewers lefty Wade Miley, game time 3:10. The NFL remembering former head coach Vince Tobin, who died yesterday at the age of 79. Tobin led the Cardinals to the playoffs in the late 90s with Jake Plummer at quarterback. Before that, Tobin was the Bears defensive coordinator in the late 80s. And in 2004, he was a Packers defensive assistant under Mike Sherman. NBA, the Bucks are bringing back Robin Lopez, the twin brother of Brooke. GM John Horse asked about re-signing Brooke Lopez to that 2-year deal worth $48 million, even though he's 35 years old.
He had a great year last year. There's no reason to think he won't have a great year this coming year.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This July 4th, Civic Media would like to give thanks and recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom and wish everyone a safe and happy Independence Day. This message made possible by Dan Reisner & Sons Excavating, serving all your excavating and truck needs with over 40 years' experience. Call 920-897-2397. That's 920-897-2397 today.
This July 4th, Civic Media would like to give thanks and recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom. And they wish you and everyone a safe and happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July from Joy Powell's Shore West Realtors, 839 Lombardi Avenue, Green Bay. Call 920-593-4100. 920-593-4100.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy. High of 88, southwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight. Lows dip down to about 70. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs around 83. Cloudy skies. Mid-70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Warmer Friday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 87.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Hall, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Luke Mathers. Luke, what up?
How we doing, Will? It's Friday. It's your favorite Wednesday of the week.
It is my absolute favorite Wednesday of the week.
Yeah, and it's the end of June. We're here, the final day of the month. We got some doing a holiday weekend, extended holiday weekend after today. And so, folks, if you want to join us here on Town Call before you head out on the road for wherever you're celebrating this weekend or between now and the 4th coming up next Tuesday, give us a call. Share your thoughts with us, 844-967-2789.
And or if you're a justice of the Supreme Court, you know, and you have a big holiday vacation that you gotta get to now that you're done destroying the livelihood of millions of American citizens, please do so as well. Luke, that is the topic of the day. Of course, ruling dropped from the Supreme Court this morning.
Several rulings, not just one. True,
several rulings, but the big ruling, let's say, the one that's going to be receiving significant coverage over the next couple of weeks, months, and potentially years, and might have significant 2024 ramifications. The Supreme Court blocks Biden's student loan forgiveness program. My question to you, the people of Wisconsin, is the Supreme Court working? Are they doing their job? Is this judicial activism? Where do we draw the line? What is and is not acceptable from the arbiter of justice at the federal level? In a stinging defeat this morning for President Joe Biden's agenda, the Supreme Court blocked the administration's student loan forgiveness plan, rejecting a program aimed at delivering up to $20,000 of relief to millions of borrowers struggling with outstanding debt, in a 6-3 decision with Chief Justice John Roberts writing the conservative majority and Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson dissenting. Luke, we're young. I know a lot of young people who this is going young-ish. If you listened to the show the other day, Luke had to correct me on that. But I know a lot of people that this is going to impact directly. I know a lot of budgets that are going to really struggle to find an additional $300, $400, $500, $600 to put towards their student loan debt. How is this going to impact your day-to-day life, people of Wisconsin? Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, it's gonna be very telling what the economic impact of these payments not being canceled, these loans not being canceled, is going to be tremendous. It's in the trillions of dollars. There's, I believe, roughly 700,000 student loan borrowers here in the state of Wisconsin that will be affected by today's decision from the Supreme Court, and I think as your question points out, is the Supreme Court working? I think it's entirely upon who you ask. I think it's entirely dependent on who you're asking, what kind of answer you're going to get for that. Because for people that want to say that they're constitutional originalists, that they like to see just an arbiter on the U.S. Supreme Court, just calling balls and strikes, saying this is not legal. The Biden administration use the emergency declaration of the COVID-19 pandemic through the authorization of Congress in 2003 with the HEROES Act to use as the basis for the canceling of roughly about $400 billion of student loan debt. That was what was at question in this Supreme Court case. And essentially, the justices, the 6-3 majority, the conservative majority on the Supreme Court said, well, it's too significant. That's too high of a price tag. That's not reading and calling balls and strikes of whether or not an administration can or cannot do something. That is taking an opinion and using whatever scales of metric that the U.S. Supreme Court justices used in this determination. They use the term too significant. Like, that's not judicial originalism.
It sounds like judicial activism to me, Luke.
Yeah, and so for that to be the basis of this Supreme Court case and how it was decided, I think if you're a politico and you all you care about is the politics of your side winning or losing, it solely determines your political views of whether or not the Supreme Court's working then, and that's not what our arbiter, our nation's highest court should be doing. It shouldn't be a cheerleader for one political party or another and look to hand wins and losses that way. But unfortunately, it feels, Will, like today in this case of the Supreme Court just saying, yeah, the Heroes Act authorization from 2003, it's there. It says that the U.S. Department of Education can authorize and change and modify changes to loans that the federal government provides. That's what was at question here. And then the 6-3 majority come in and say, but that's too significant. Maybe if it was a lower price, at what threshold then would it be acceptable to do it? Yeah. Where was that line drawn? Because it seems very, very arbitrary at that point. And that's not a reading of the law. That's imposing your political views on what would or would not be too significant of relief to student loan borrowers across the nation.
Mm-hmm. And the court did go on to they held that the administration needed congressional endorsement before undertaking so costly a program. As you just noted, it's not the balls and the strikes.
So if it was only $100 billion, maybe. No, because, again, that's just the justification used to then come to this conclusion. Because that's truly what this decision feels like. There was very little grounds of standing for this court case to be brought before the U.S. Supreme Court in the first place. That's what legal experts have said. That it is a set of states, 6 states, I believe, Will, that sued on behalf of, like, loan provider organizations. Like, it wasn't even the states that were being harmed. They were these third-party entities that Nebraska and Missouri were trying to represent before this lawsuit, saying, hey, we're going to see some harm. We think that we might potentially be harmed. And if there was a environmental organization that tried to bring some kind of lawsuit with similar legal standing for a court case against a corporation that was polluting, they would be laughed out of the courtroom for having this little standing. And it makes its way all the way to the Supreme Court. And then you see a 6-3 party line decision like this.
And we were talking about that before the show, Luke. I think that is the best conversation piece you can have with, you know, a regular citizen when you're discussing the implications long term of this is if you're going to allow court cases to be brought up by third parties and individuals that aren't involved and you're allowed to sue the federal government because something a law is passed that, you know, hurts your business or whatever, like they did in this situation, where are we going to draw that line? Can alcohol producers sue the government because the 21 plus drinking age is cutting out 3 years worth of profits for 18-year-olds? Can gun manufacturers sue the government because gun control measures are hurting their bottom line? Oil and gas companies suing because environmental regulations hurt their bottom line? Well, you noted that it depends on what side of the economic aisle you live on, in the sense that if the 6 of the justices are going to side with the major corporations, then sure, they're more than welcome to bring it up, but anything that benefits the individual, then you won't be as lucky, particularly in this situation. I want to note as well, Luke, that Justice Kagan, writing in dissent, joined by the court's two other liberals, noted that the majority of the court in this situation, quote, overrides the combined judgment of the legislative and executive branches with the consequences of eliminating loan forgiveness for 43 million Americans. Because, as you noted, the HEROES Act was passed in 2003 with bipartisan support and signed by George W. Bush, the current president at the time. John Roberts, perhaps anticipating negative public reaction and aware of declining approval, added an unusual coda to his opinion, cautioning that the liberals' dissent should not be mistaken for disparagement of the quote of the court itself, saying, quote, it is important that the public not be misled either. Any such misperception would be harmful to this institution and our country, unquote.
An interesting little side note there by Chief Justice Roberts. Folks, yeah. You're listening to Town Call, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We want to hear your thoughts. Is the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, working? Want to know your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Up first this Friday afternoon, we got Jeannie calling in from Eau Claire. Jeannie, what are your thoughts on the Supreme Court?
Coming out of my ears up here, away from my side of the state. I'm 68, and god darn it, I am mad as H-E-double-L at what this court is doing to the people of our country, and especially the people younger than myself. This is ludicrous. We can give tax breaks to the wealthiest. I use cuss words, but I can't. Son of a guns in our country that are putting their funds right back into these yahoos, Federal Society, Koch brothers, ALEC, against the people in our country when we need to support young people and people who are going to school to better their lives. This is nuts. I never paid the outrageous sums that young people have had to pay. And you could refinance your loans. I mean, they got people under a big ruler stick that are keeping them down. And this is nuts. And everybody in our country should be outraged. And if they're sitting there saying, oh, I paid off my student debt, why shouldn't everybody else? Everybody don't live under the same circumstances. People don't have the same abilities. People don't have the same support systems. And this is nuts. When you try to do things for our country and better yourselves and move up and just try to live and learn. I mean, I am so thankful for you guys. I just can't tell you. And god dang it, this is ridiculous, and those people should all be kicked off that court because they lied and they're getting paybacks, and it is horrifying. So anyway, guys, thank you for what I feel so bad. This is nuts, and I feel so bad for young people, and us old people better get out there and open our mouths and stick up for you young people. Thank you so much for taking my call. You guys hang in there, and I hope you have a good weekend. This is a horrible thing for our country. Bye.
Oh, you as well, Jeannie. Thank you so much for the call, and us young people appreciate that. From one young person to another, Luke, I would love to have some of the older generation. And there's a lot of people out there that are doing the great work and are fighting the good fight. But something that Jeannie noted as well is, how we're more than willing to help out the ultra rich. Republican-led states argued before the court that the plan would have amounted to a, quote, windfall, unquote, for 20 million people who would have seen their entire student debt disappear and been better off than they were before the pandemic. A windfall for 20 million people? Compared to a massive tax break that's going to benefit, 1,000 ultra-rich people? Come on. Come on. This is disastrous. It's grotesque. We're talking Supreme Court. Is it working for you? We're going to be right back after the break. Give us a call if you're interested in participating. 844-967-2789. This is Town Call.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Victor Okendo. Americans marking this 4th of July with celebrations, but mass shootings in Philadelphia and Fort Worth, Texas have marred the holiday. Philadelphia police investigating a shooting last night, saying a gunman wearing a bulletproof vest killed at least five people during a 4th of July event. And in Highland Park, Illinois, Residents are remembering 1 year ago when a gunman opened fire during the town's 4th of July parade. Mayor Nancy Rottering at a ceremony today says the community is strong.
We don't need the date or the holiday to remind us about what happened. We live with it every day. Each one of us, even as the world moves on, the loss and the pain will never leave us.
Security stepped up across the country and in New York City ahead of the fireworks show. Law enforcement says even though there are no credible threats, recent extremist groups have put police on high alert. And millions of Americans traveling this holiday weekend, more than 50 million driving or flying. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is criticizing two Supreme Court decisions last week. She's talking about the court's ruling on affirmative action in college admissions and a case that allows discrimination against people based on sexual orientation. Baldwin says both rulings are matters of fairness and freedom. She says she's worried about the broader implications of the court's decisions in the future. Eight people are doing better today after getting stuck hanging upside down on a roller coaster for about 3 hours in Crandon Sunday. Nobody was hurt, but one person did go to the hospital. It happened on the last day of the Forest County Festival. Channel 7 in Wausau reports 7 of the stuck passengers were kids. Inspectors were still looking into the cause of the mechanical breakdown last we checked. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. This 4th of July, Civic Media would like to recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom. This message brought to you by Hubbard Electric in Manitowoc. Hubbard Electric is the area's top choice for electrical contractors because they're focused on quality and value. Call today, 920-686-1180. 920-686-1180. Happy 4th of July from Hubbard Electric in Manitowoc. This July 4th, Civic Media would like to give thanks and recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom. And they wish you and everyone a safe and happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July from Joy Powell's Shore West Realtors, 839 Lombardi Avenue, Green Bay. Call 920-593-4100. 920-593-4100. This 4th of July, Civic Media would like to recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom. This message brought to you by Renez Group, offering assisted living, memory care, rehab, and skilled nursing services. Call 715-582-2200. 715-582-2200. Happy 4th of July from Renez Group.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in the forum today, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking Supreme Court. Do you think the Supreme Court is working? Are they doing their job, or is this judicial activism? We're going to go back to the phone lines. We got Terry from Fond du Lac on the line. Terry, what are your thoughts on the recent Supreme Court decisions?
Yeah, well, my wife, she had to go back to school for a nursing job, so obviously we got a bunch of debt, you know, schooling debt and all, which sucked. It would have been great. Do I feel like it would be right to put that expense on the American taxpayer? No. The idea should have never been brought up. That's the whole problem we have here. Where do you stop? I mean, we all have debt. You can't put it on the American taxpayer to split the bill. We all make choices in our lives. you know, where would you stop? You know, I mean, the whole idea should have never been brought up by the president, my take on it. That's the same as the child care. The money was handed out for child care. When you hand people money, it's to be expected. And when you take the money away, that's where the problem lies. Would it be a great idea? Yes, we do need money for child care. We need a program figured out. Same as with college. College tuition is ridiculously expensive. But the white, I mean, where do you stop then? Know what I mean?
Well, that's a fair point, Terry. Would you agree with PPP loans then? That PPP loans should not have been forgiven?
That's a hard line there.
Right, exactly. Businesses got their loans forgiven, and the American people are not. That's kind of my approach to this.
And I think it's important to point out, Terry, from what you're stating, that was the American taxpayer that was forgiving those PPP loans. That wasn't just a loan to businesses it's the same exact thing that would be for the student loans. It was the same exact thing for investments into child care programs.
I agree 100%. You go online and you look at all the businesses that receive money. I mean, it's ridiculous. You would just shake your head. It's like, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you were, on that point, it was. And yes, you know, where do you stop? That's just my point of view. Yes, student loans are ridiculously expensive, but should it be put on the taxpayer to pay for it because that was your decision? That's where I kind of draw the line. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you made a good point, Terry, that we're being reactive rather than proactive. Realistically, if we wanted to fix a lot of these situations, we would hit at the heart of the problem, which is that college is just too expensive. That's a lot easier said than done. And in this situation, I'm big on the hypocrisy aspect of it. Luke noted during the break, a representative from South Carolina who was tweeting about canceling student debt is gross. People took out all these loans. And then
there's Republican congressmen and there's a lot of Republican elected officials that are applauding the Supreme Court's decision today. And there are organizations that are going and essentially showing the receipts saying you're applauding the Supreme Court striking this down from today's ruling, but you yourself received X number of forgiven loans through the Paycheck Protection Program. And a lot of these aren't even anywhere close to the size of what a student loan would be. These are in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars for the relief that regular student loan borrowers would have received, $10,000 max. If they had a Pell Grant, they would get up to $20,000. So the much larger scale the PPP was as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my wife, she had to go back. She's a nurse. She had to go back. She was forced to go back and get a bachelor's degree or else she'd have to switch careers. She was forced to go back to college. And I think it was upwards of $40,000 or $50,000 to get this degree to do the same job she was doing for 15 years. I mean, it's absurd. You know, it's just so much that the whole college system, something needs to be redone. It's just, it shouldn't cost $40,000 to $50,000 to get a bachelor's degree to maintain your job as a nurse. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Would you support government program? Quick question for you, Terry. Would you support government programs that went into paying for the retraining costs for individuals? So say if it was more targeted and forgiving those loans on a targeted basis of if you're a nurse or a teacher or there are other ways that we could have public tax dollars address some of these problems, but it's going to come down to there needs to be some public money behind it because these organizations, these institutions, these corporations aren't going to cut costs. It doesn't feel like that. If we're waiting for that to happen, we're going to be waiting for a really long time, Terry.
Oh, absolutely. The whole system needs to be, I don't know why the cost is the way it is for everything. I mean, why in the world would you even want to go to college anymore as a young kid coming out of high school? Even if you did have good degrees, you probably would. I mean, why would you want to have a debt for that many years? You know, I don't know. It's
it's the whole system is, and you could blame it on both sides, you know, it's all, but to throw money at the problem, yeah, it would help, but it's not going to solve any problems. You know what I mean?
Remember too, Terry, that
solve the problem.
Well, I think the loan forgiveness would solve a lot of problems for millions of Americans because they would be able to contribute to society and the economy at large if not having to pay $200, $300, $400 a month in these student loan repayments.
You forget that's only up to $20,000 at the max. Most people would get $10,000, which on most student loans, $10,000 doesn't, like my wife, I think it's close to, I don't even want to look at it. It kind of makes me sick to my stomach, but I know it was over 40, I think, at one time, 40 or close to 50 or something.
Well,
that's 20 to 25%.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how 40 school, you know, I mean, the money, yeah, it's nice, 10,000, 20, but some of these student loans, well, you guys probably know firsthand. I mean, I'm a bit older, I'm sure, than you guys. You guys would know. And that probably doesn't even, it would help, absolutely, but to what point, you know? I guess every little bit would help, but.
I do know people, Terry, that are hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. But to touch on something you said earlier that I think is really noteworthy as well, remember that a lot of young people, at least this was my experience growing up, is we were always told, if you want to get a good job, you have to get an education, you have to go to college, right? It was hammered into our minds. Everything you are doing from kindergarten on is to build your transcript, to build your resume, to build your ability to get into the best school possible so that you can go to a great college and get a great education. And, you know, you're still a child. You're still a developing brain. You're going to trust the powers that be, whether that's your parents, your teachers, the community at large. And they're all telling you, you have to go to college. It's not surprising that so many kids have, you know, assumed that that is the only route to take and have gone that route. Well, this is how much college costs, right? You are putting yourself into this massive debt. It's in a lot of ways indentured servitude. You now don't have the freedom to pursue whatever career or passions you might have because you have that massive $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 a month student loan payment sitting on your budget. It's a black hole eating into your discretionary funding month after month after month. Think about the economic ramifications now of millions of young people that had a spare couple hundred dollars to go spend that all of a sudden will not anymore. I mean, we're potentially creating a bubble with the 2024 election coming up. If we face economic collapse prior to then or some kind of massive recession, this is going to be incredibly harmful to millions of Americans.
If I can also add something to that, as somebody who is a recent college student, that absolutely is the case, that it was hammered into my mind from a very young age. Like, you got to go to college if you want to have a decent job. Like, hey, yeah, we'll present the other options. You could go to a trade school. You could do a youth apprenticeship. You could do those, and that's great. That's just good for some people. Anyway, let's spend the next 3 hours talking about why college is better. And then after high school, I did go to college, but then the timing was horrible. I was pursuing a music degree during the pandemic, so I dropped out. So now I have probably close to $100,000 in student debt and no degree. And what am I going to do? I don't know. I just accepted the fact that I will have debt for the foreseeable future. And I know that's just how life is. And that's too bad.
Well, and that, Aaron, Aaron, you're not an outlier in that.
Oh, no, I'm not an outlier.
There's millions of I want to say roughly about half of student loan debt is taken on by individuals that never finished their degree. So they have all of the risk they took to try to go get a degree, and none of the payoffs of that degree assisting them in repaying those loans. Because again, society for a really long time said, yes, as Will and Aaron have pointed out too, the way to be successful is to go to college. And now there's plenty of people that are like, oh, well, if you, you know, didn't want all this debt, you shouldn't have went and got a 4-year art degree or 4-year degree in this or that. And they belittle specific degrees in the humanities or other aspects of college as if they weren't the ones that said to their own children or their own nieces and nephews and family members that, oh, no, the only way to be successful is to go to college. And then allowing a system, because the other aspect of this that we haven't even touched on yet is the predatory loan aspect of things. You've got some of the highest interest rates that can't be refinanced, that stay with you through bankruptcy. These student loans are carte blanche to be able to take advantage of those individuals from 18 and on for taking on and trying to better themselves. And this system is $1 trillion debt that is pressing down on Gen Z and millennials and Gen X. There's plenty of Gen Xers out there that still have student loan debt. And to act like the only reason that this got struck down today by the Supreme Court in a 6-3 decision is because the impact was too significant. Not that it wasn't authorized by Congress. It was through the HEROES Act. Not that it wasn't legally sound through the Biden executive order. It's that the impact was too significant.
Well, and Luke, you just touched on, we got a text message noting that you can't compare PPP loans to student debt relief because PPP loans were designed to be a giveaway to the wealthy from the start, while student loans were designed to force people to work. Luke, you just hammered that point home. When you are putting someone at 18 years old into massive debt to get the education that society demands them to have if they want to be successful, they now have to have a job that pays off this student debt month after month after month, no matter how miserable they are, no matter how unfulfilled they are, no matter what they're accomplishing, no matter what their dreams or passions are, it doesn't matter. For a country that prides itself on individualism and freedom of opportunity and freedom of movement, you don't have this opportunity and movement when you aren't able to go and pursue your dreams. You are stuck doing what you have to do to pay off this monthly debt that you are in because society said you had to do it. And a lot of people will say, well, then go back and get more education so that you have the freedom. Okay, so then you're in even more debt. Like it's cyclical. They're trapping you in this cycle, and the opportunity for advancement is just not there unless you were born into the right situation, unless you get incredibly lucky. This is what we mean when we're talking about like some of the systemic injustices of modern America. You know, do you think the billionaires' children have student loan debt? No, of course they don't. And that's why a lot of these ultra wealthy individuals who are sitting there saying things like, I paid off my debt. That's not the point of society. Just because you suffer doesn't mean other people should suffer. And I hate that analogy more than anything.
And it's important to point out as well that there was a threshold. This wasn't just everybody got $10,000 in student loan payments forgiveness. It's I want to say $120,000?
I believe $125,000, yeah.
And then, so underneath that threshold. And so then they're saying, oh, well, people making six figures are getting their loans forgiven. Are also the same people, Will, I think it's convenient to point out that they're saying when individuals weren't going to get a tax cut making $400,000, that was just upper middle class. You got to be able to provide more tax relief for those individuals making $300,000-$400,000, because come on, they're not that well off. It's an interesting dynamic about who benefits from the system, and I think the Roberts Court today showed that it's just going to decide what it wants to do. It's going to determine for itself. We want to hear your thoughts on the Supreme Court. We're also going to jump into most Wisconsin headlines of the week. You're listening to Town Call, 844-967-2789. Give us a call or text. We're going to be right back.
This 4th of July, Civic Media would like to recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom. This message brought to you by Hubbard Electric in Manitowoc. Hubbard Electric is the area's top choice for electrical contractors because they're focused on quality and value. Call today, 920-686-1180. 920-686-1180. Happy 4th of July from Hubbard Electric in Manitowoc.
This July 4th, Civic Media would like to give thanks and recognize the men and women of the armed forces for defending our freedom and wish everyone a safe and happy Independence Day. This message made possible by Dan Reisner & Sons Excavating, serving all your excavating and truck needs with over 40 years experience. Call 920-897-2397. That's 920-897-2397 today.
Current Electrical Services is looking for construction electricians. Apply online at currentelectricalservices.com. Better pay, better lifestyle, and excellent benefits. Give your career a jolt. Work at Current Electrical Services, a veteran-owned company.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. High of 88, winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 70, mainly cloudy. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 83. Mid-70s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Warmer Friday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 88.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
It's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're talking Supreme Court. Do you think they are working? Are they doing their job? Or is this judicial activism? We're going to go back to the phone lines. We got CJ on the line. CJ, what are your thoughts on the Supreme Court's recent decisions?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I was just having a conversation with my friend, Brady Tidy, friend down in Florida. And he said he knew Biden was going to lose in the Supreme Court because he just wanted the votes. And I said, every negative decision that the Supreme Court's made that's affecting all of us, next they're going for the LGBTQ community, is giving him the votes. It's not that he needed the votes. It's the Supreme Court is actually handing him the votes, whether he wanted them or not. And It would have been a good thing for the taxpayers, but the taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. It's the GOP tax decreases for the rich, the one percenters, that has severely affected our ability to pay these debts. So if we went from 3% to 33%, maybe that could actually make some good in the world. But just the fact that the Supreme Court, with all these decisions that they're making that negatively affect all of us, is going to make them wonder what happened in 2024. So have a great day.
Thanks, CJ. Yeah, that's a really good point. We're seeing that right now, right? With, as we discussed earlier in the week, the Wisconsin budget, the massive tax breaks that we're seeing going disproportionately to the highest income earners in the state. And I think, CJ, you made another interesting point about, gathering votes. We saw post Roe v. Wade decision, the massive voter turnout that came through both in November as well as this year's spring general. The Supreme Court is clearly energizing a number of individuals, particularly young people, that are saying, I have had enough. Got a text message coming in from Madison. I'm a 60-year-old man. When I was growing up, my parents were blue collar workers, like many blue collar workers, losing their jobs in the late 70s and 80s due to jobs moving overseas. Many kids didn't want to follow in their parents' footsteps and opted to go to college to have a much better life with more job opportunities. Excellent point. Again, society and our communities kind of like shepherding us into this as the only option you can have for advancement. However, the trade-off is, you're inherently in tons and tons and tons of debt. Well, that's just the decision you have to make. I don't know. I don't think that's healthy, Luke.
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy at all. And there are plenty of options out there. I've got cousins who made the decision not to go to college, even though the relatively larger family, the underlying premise was, if you want to be successful, you need to go to college and get a job. And I've got cousins who went into the trades, and one of them's a barber, And he's making great money as a barber. And the ones that are in the trades are doing well for themselves. And there's other opportunities and avenues to success. It doesn't all have to be to college, but there is absolutely an underlying vibe that society for a very long time said this is the way to do it. If you want to be successful, you go to school. And and that is absolutely part of the dynamic, I think. But there's, again, there's a lot of underlying factors there. That the cost of college is skyrocketing, the fact that there are very predatory loans providers out there. Like, it is not a healthy environment right now for being able to go and get an education like that. And I think one of the things that CJ
being a young person is dangerous, Luke.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. One of the interesting things that CJ pointed out, I don't know if the politics is going to be... I don't think we can tell the political fallout of what this is going to be yet. It's going to be something interesting to keep an eye on, but I'm fairly certain that the individuals that are applauding this decision today aren't going to be thinking about it a whole lot come November of next year. The people that are going to all of a sudden have to make real life-altering decisions of, okay, I can't go and start this business now because I need to stay in my current job so that I can afford the student loan payments that are going to resume again for me, or that they have to cut costs here and there and budget around this now that this forgiveness is not going to be provided by the federal government. Those individuals are going to remember, and it will be interesting to see if they are going to just blame the Biden administration because it didn't follow through on its promises to forgive student debt. Are they going to blame the Supreme Court? It will be interesting to keep an eye on where the political fallout is surrounding this, but I think it's probably too early to tell. We're just going to get a lot of outrage on both sides. Well, applause on one side and outrage on the other today. But where it goes from here is something we'll have to keep an eye on, Will.
Oh, and you know, too, Luke, we've focused on student debt relief for this show, but realistically, we could make the joke that it was Chief Justice John Roberts and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad couple of days, because it has been a number of decisions over the past few days, as we touched on yesterday, and something that I kind of want to get back to because I found a very interesting tweet when we were talking about the affirmative action decision that the Supreme Court made. Chief Justice Roberts, in a footnote yesterday, noted that military academies were exempted from the ruling in light of the, quote, potentially distinct interests, unquote, they present. There had been discussion of whether the military needed to maintain affirmative action in training its future officer corps based on a judgment that it would be bad for military discipline and cohesiveness if leadership did not reflect the diversity of the rank and file troops who did the bulk of fighting and dying in wars. Much like the addition he added that we noted earlier, that the liberal justices are not criticizing the court, right? John Roberts is saying the quiet part out loud. He is publicly noting, oh, we are going against what is in the better interest of all of society when we can pick and choose situations that it applies to. I don't understand why military academies would be different from regular institutions of higher learning where the same thing applies. Should we not have a student body that reflects the diversity of our communities? Evidently, military academies should, because he doesn't want a bunch of, you know, white people telling the bulk of the troops fighting and dying in wars that, you know, fair representation should apply to the military. Then why does it not apply to all of society? I just don't get it. Justice Jackson had a number of incredibly relevant quotes.
And the interesting aspect, too, there was a footnote in the independent state legislature theory that would revive Bush v. Gore for the ability for the U.S. Supreme Court to step in election disputes within a state there. And today, in the 303 creative case, the Supreme Court ruled that it's okay to discriminate based on your religious views against LGBTQ individuals. And so and that one, again, questionable foot to stand on, because the whole harm that was produced in that lawsuit was all hypothetical. It was all made up. There was no actual harm against the individual suing.
Sounds like we'll have to touch on that on Monday, Luke.
So much to talk about here on Town Call. We really appreciate all of our callers today and all week. Have a terrific weekend. We will be back on Monday at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Have a great weekend, party people.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the ABC Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Sherry.